Jean, welcome to Outsources. It's so nice to have you here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And let me add my welcome as well, Jean. It's an honor to have you here on Outsources. You're an amazing person. We all know that. You've also been an incredible ally to the LGBT community. So it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
There's so much in Sue Casey's biography of you that we would love to talk about, but we've sort of decided on three particular areas that we'd like to have you address. And the first question we have, and we understand that this really jumps ahead because you had done a lot of important work in a variety of arenas before you ever took on the Amendment 2 case. But we're going to skip over all of that now and say, what prepared you personally and professionally to take on this task?
Oh, I think it goes back a long ways, actually. I think it comes from having self-confidence that started with my parents, who supported everything I ever wanted to do. And it goes back to having an uncle who was in many ways like a third parent who was gay, but I didn't know he was gay when I was young. I didn't know what sexual orientation was. But not too long before I got involved in this case, I went to Nashville, Tennessee, where he lived, to help him meet with his lawyer to set up the legal protections for his partner of 60 years. And wow. There were no legal protections for partners, gay partners at that point. So you had to make elaborate legal arrangements. And that really came home to me how difficult things could be for someone who'd been a very loving and successful person over the years. Another thing that helped me since I was in high school was participating in the debate program at Topeka High. Both boys and girls could participate, and I learned to engage in public speaking. I then had a lot of experience handling a lot of different kinds of civil rights cases. I'd been on the Colorado Supreme Court for 8 years, and what I'd really learned from all of that is what one can achieve with successful litigation. And part of that, the most important part of that, is figuring out what one has a chance of winning. You can't ask a court to do more than it's likely to do. Mm-hmm. And that came into play in the Amendment 2 case, very crucially.
Mm-hmm. It seems like such an important lesson in general. It's one that activists can so easily forget when you're on the street and you sort of want the whole ball of wax at once. And to remind yourself that there will be steps to get there and that the courts are likely to move only so far, and you can...
That's right.
You can back yourself into a corner by asking for too much.
Courts famously move incrementally. In the Amendment 2 case, when we sought relief, there had been no relief for discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation at that point. So we had to figure out what legal theories we could use that had the greatest likelihood of success.
Now, you've been talking about things that prepared you to take on that case. I was struck reading Sue's book, and I'd known some of this before, but not all of it. I was really struck by how much sexism you had encountered along the path of your career. Pretty much everywhere you turned, you were running into sexism. And I was thinking as I was reading the biography, how many occasions there might have been that would have discouraged some people, some women, and would have made you shy away from continuing to take on very difficult kinds of things. Where did your resilience come from in that? I'm sure your parents instilling self-confidence is part of that, but what else would you say about what fostered that amazing resilience you've had?
Well, I think part of it involves coming from Kansas, going first to California for college and then to Harvard for law school.
Sounded like an awful experience.
Well, it was. It was very difficult for women then because there were so few women in law school, and the law school in general hadn't wanted to admit women, so it never did make it easy, at least while I was there. In many ways, wasn't much point in going to class. any rate, I think part of it had to do with coming from Kansas, which people thought was sort of a backwater and you didn't have to be taken seriously or listened to. And you sort of learn from growing up in Kansas that people tend to play with their cards under the table, and you don't necessarily get an impression that they know a lot or they're acting in a way that is going to call attention to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you actually do a good job or do something fairly quietly, people are often surprised.
They pay attention.
And I think that makes, in many ways, approaching things makes it easier to get a decent result.
It's interesting.